Ladies and gentlemen, good morning and welcome to the financial results call for the first half year of 2018. Today we have a bit more on our plate than coming along with the usual quarterly reporting. We had to revisit some of our financials from the past, and we had to implement a more transparent view on M&A. Let's jump into it and directly go to slide number two. Let me start, important in a nutshell, the operational GFT business in the first half year came in as planned, right? We're somewhat in the middle of our scenarios, so as we had expected. Looking at the revenues, we're down 3% to 211.16 million euros. On a like-for-like FX basis, we would be at ±0, but we do have some currencies that are weaker today than a year ago, which is mainly the Brazilian real, US dollar, and Mexican peso. Looking at the segments, Americas and U.K. is down 12%, Continental Europe is up 6%, but this is as expected. Coming to the earnings part of our numbers, we have included a footnote for an adaptation the German FRAP wanted us to implement. FRAP is the Financial Reporting Enforcement Panel of Germany, which wanted us to adapt our earn-out accounting for the Sempler acquisition, which we did in 2013. We will look at the financial effects arising from this adaptation on slide four. In a nutshell, the effect for the first half year 2017 and 2018 is roughly half a million of additional interest in our P&L reporting. Going to the second bullet point below EBITDA, we have included a new KPI called EBITDA adjusted to highlight the true operational performance of the GFT business. The EBITDA adjusted focuses on the business performance, and by that eliminates all non-operational effects from M&A activities like Vineo, which we just acquired, or former acquisitions, and including the already mentioned FRAP finding. The EBITDA adjusted for the first half 2018 is up 9% compared to last year. The normal EBITDA, so not adjusted, for the first half is up 10% compared to the previous period. Please keep in mind that in the first six months of 2017, we booked roughly 1.4 million of one-off restructure costs in U.K. and U.S. Going to the next block, the EBT is up 39% compared to previous year, but 2017 was burdened by 2 million of goodwill impairment loss. The number of employees is down 1%, which is in line with flat revenues on local currency basis. Okay, let's move on to slide number three. As commented, the revenue after six months stood at 211 million euros, 3% down. EBITDA adjusted is now included in this table as well, increasing by 9% compared to last reporting period. Taking into account that 2017 includes 1.4 million of restructure cost, the EBITDA adjusted is effectively more or less unchanged compared to last year. As we miss 6.5 million of revenues and corresponding gross margins, the overall cost base of GFT has improved in 2018. EBITDA is up 10%, EBIT is up 34%, as 2017 numbers were burdened by the already mentioned 2 million goodwill impairment. Same reasoning for the EBT improvement. As our tax rate continues to be below long-term average, the net income picked up by 55%. In order to give a full picture of our operational performance, we now include the net income adjusted and the earnings per share adjusted. Both lines exclude non-operational effects from M&A activities, and including the relevant tax impacts coming from those. By extending the range of earnings KPIs, we want to give the capital market a more comprehensive overview of our performance. Operational performance is best reflected in adjusted numbers and the classic IFRS financial performance with the classic earnings numbers. We will continue to show this set of KPIs on many of the following slides and in the presentations to come in the coming quarters. On top, we put a slide in the appendix of the presentation to name all effects included in the adapted numbers, so you could see the details there at the very end of this presentation. Last but not least, employee numbers are in line with revenues, slightly below first half of 2017, but we have a dedicated slide for employees, which is slide number 17. All right, let's move forward. Slide number four. As already mentioned, we had to adapt GFT financials for a FRAP finding. Now a little background. The German FRAP, or Financial Reporting Enforcement Panel, was formed in the year 2005 to enforce German accounting standards. GFT was first checked by FRAP in 2007 for the business year 2006. Back then, no findings. Our second check by FRAP started in second half of 17 for the business year 2016, and it led to one finding. The finding is described in the text on the right side of the slide and in our quarterly report. The financial impact is shown in the table on the left side of this slide. But let me summarize the findings. When GFT acquired the Italian company Sempla in the year 2013, we bought 80% of the shares and agreed a put call option for the remaining 20%. The price was based on the financial performance of the company. Together with our auditor, KPMG, we analyzed in depth the right accounting methodology and agreed on the so-called anticipated acquisition method. This method assumes that changes to the value of the put call option are offset directly against the balance sheet equity. The P&L is not affected. The FRAP disagreed to this chosen accounting method and enforced us to adapt our accounting for this specific put call option. As Sempla showed strong earnings growth in the price, the price for the put call option increased over time, and we upped the value in our balance sheet mainly in 2016 and a bit in 2017. The FRAP has defined that those adaptations have to go into our P&L looking backward, now visible in the lines, now looking at the table, M&A earnout, which is blue as usual, our M&A lines are always blue, and a bit is in the corresponding line M&A interest for compound interest on the earnout. So you do see that for 17, 16, but also for 18, we show the reported GFT numbers, and on the right, the GFT numbers including FRAP, so now the new formally correct GFT numbers. Important to know. After having personally discussed the topic with our auditors and the FRAP Council, I can confirm that we are in the middle of conflicting IFRS rules. On top, the FRAP of France assumes the method that we applied as the right method, but the German FRAP decided differently for the first time for reasons unknown to us and our auditors. We have chosen to not further spend time and money to challenge the ruling, also as the subject is closed since early July of this year, when we acquired and paid the remaining 20% of Sempla. We still believe the accounting method we showed and chose was valid and gave a true and fair view of our financials. The newly included EBITDA adjusted in the table shows that the FRAP finding has no impact on the operational performance of GFT. The equity of our balance sheet and the liability for the put call option was accurate on every quarterly closing, which also the FRAP accepted. Only the P&L has to be adapted. If we would have been aware of the FRAP view back in 2013, when we initially had to choose the accounting methodology, we of course would have chosen that path from the beginning. Then we would initially have started with a higher earnout assumption, and the P&L effects we now have to report as a finding would probably never have occurred. But let's look forward now. For the first half of 2018, we had to post another M&A interest worth 560K for compound interest on the earnout. But as we acquired the remaining 20% of Sempla on July 9th, so 9 days after this half year ended, there will be no further P&L effects arising from this matter. All right, let's move forward. Slide number 5. We went back to our previous quarters and applied the new set of earnings KPIs for this table, which we usually bring up in the quarterly calls. No need to go into details here. It's just the transparency you need, that you now have all quarters, including adjusted numbers and including the FRAP finding inside. So we have a clear visibility for you. You don't have to come back to us on details here. I hope this helps. If there are questions, please follow up after I'm done with the presentation. Slide number 6, revenue and EBITDA adjusted per quarter, focusing on Q2. We do see that the revenues for Q2 are a bit below Q1, so 104 compared to 107 million. We already see a bit the weakening demand from our top two clients. At the same time, the EBITDA adjusted is somewhat on the same level as in Q1, so quite a stable performance here. I would not go into more details here because we already took up quite a lot of time. Let's move forward. Revenue per segment, slide number 7. Here we do see that Americas and UK performance is similar to Q1. We're down 12.5% year over year to 93 million. Half of the effect comes from FX, the other half from the organic business development. On the FX side, I already mentioned, it is the weaker Brazilian real, it's the weaker dollar and the weaker Mexican peso, which makes our euro revenues look smaller. On continental Europe side, well, of course, there's not much FX risk. It's mainly euros. And we're up 6%, which is also similar to where we were in Q1. But let's move to slide number 8, which gives a bit more in-depth picture of the segments. And we again differentiate for the top two clients, which is Deutsche Bank and Barclays, and the other clients. As you know, our top two clients are the ones that are reducing budgets. They have been reducing in 2017, and they continue in 18, and this is hitting us quite heavily. As you see, in the first 6 months, we are 22% down in revenues with the top two clients in Americas and UK. This is mainly the investment banking business of those two financial institutions. So from 63, we're down to 49. Just as an information for you, the first half of 2016, we stood at 78 million euros. So from 78, we moved a year later to 63, and it's now 49. So we hope it is slowing down, but we can't be sure yet. Other clients up 2%. This is not what we expect, where we expect to be for the full year. We want to grow other clients faster than that, but currently it's 2% up. This is linked to continental Europe top two clients. Here we see that, especially in Deutsche, we've been growing in the first half of 2018. So we now stand at 41.5 million euros. We were not expecting to really grow in that part of the business. And therefore, we've been rerouting teams from other clients to Deutsche Bank business and not winning other clients' business at the same time, but at the same time not increasing the GFT team because we see a weaker revenue in the second half, so no need to bring people on board who will not be utilized in the second half of 2018. We focused on using the teams at hand, and the demand from the top two clients, mainly Deutsche Bank, was quite strong. Therefore, other clients are suffering somewhat and only show 2 and 3% of growth, in average 3% across the group. This will change in the second half. We believe that the top two clients in continental Europe will weaken somewhat, and the other clients will benefit. Moving forward, slide number 9, EBITDA adjusted and EBT per segment. We now change this. We used to report EBITDA and EBT, but we didn't see you guys seeing much value in the EBT figure per segment. We now use adapted and EBITDA. And we do see we have a significant improvement in Americas and UK. I mentioned again, in the first half of 17, we included 1.4 million of restructure cost. So if you take that out, the gap is 5 million euros. You also see that the continental European EBITDA contribution is weaker than a year ago. Yes, that's correct. We currently face some underutilization there. We have to adapt the teams that mainly the top two clients in the UK are reducing. Therefore, we're burdening somewhat our continental European business. There's one last point. We're currently having roughly 1 million more earnings in Americas and UK compared to last year because of internal pricing. So continental Europe suffers by roughly 1 million per quarter. Americas and UK benefits by 1 million per quarter. So that's what we are pushing left and right. But besides that, continental Europe would still be below the H170 number for not ideal utilization. Going forward, slide number 10 shows the revenue breakdown by countries. We do see the reduction in UK and US, and this also reduces the share of the cake. We see growth in Germany, in Spain, in Italy. Brazil, in local currency, is flat, but in euros is minus 9%. And last but not least, Switzerland gives us a headache at the moment, but it will not change throughout 2018, and I already went into this in Q1. The Avaloq pipeline is dried up, as new implementations of the Avaloq system currently are scarce, And of course, our pipeline was suffering from the lawsuit against Avaloq in Germany. Therefore, we believe the Swiss business will only pick up again in 2019 and will burdening us in 2018. Let's go forward. Slide number 11, our top 30 clients. Again, the ones highlighted with the blue box around are the ones who have not been on this list a year ago. So Schroders, DWP Bank from Germany, and Bloomberg are new to the list on the capital market side. On the retail banking side, the Italian payment facilitator Nexi is new. And on the insurance business, we have GKV, which is a German governing body of health insurance companies. But besides that, quite a stable list as usual. Let's move forward. Slide number 12, the P&L statement. Not much to mention here. Maybe you do see that cost of purchased services are up 5%. So instead of hiring people we might not need in the second half, we have been leveraging a bit more on freelancers and externals and reducing our own personnel expenses. Income tax, quite low tax rate again after 6 months. I will come back to this topic on slide 14. Moving forward to slide 13, we now move into two slides with heavy numbers. We have been showing most of the information you see on slide 13 in our prior analyst calls. Let's first look at the descriptions of the lines on the left side, top to bottom. What we did is include the EBITDA adjusted as the first line. Below, we added, besides the already reported M&A PPA order book, two new lines on what stands between EBITDA adjusted and EBITDA. So we're quite precise here. Besides order book adjustment, we added M&A-related earnout and retention cost and M&A-related consulting and integration cost to really make the EBITDA adjusted numbers speak and make sense. Then comes the EBITDA, and the next lines are good old friends, as reported before, all the way down to the EBT. As before, M&A-related effects are shown in a blue typo. As additional information below the EBT, we now include net income and net income adjusted, plus the corresponding earnings per share details. Now let's have a look at the first half year 2017 numbers. So now let's go into the columns. The FREP finding I mentioned for the first two quarters of 2017 added M&A interest of 510K. That is in the line M&A interest, column FREP. This interest relates to the compound interest on the earnout, and as the GFT total column shows, the EPS, the earnings per share, reduces to 29 cents, while the earnings per share adapted remains at 51 cents per share. Moving forward to the first half of 2018, we show GFT as before, separated from FREP finding and newly acquired Vineo, and then we have the grand total. The FREP finding is again related to the compound interest. You will find it in M&A interest. The Vineo acquisition shows M&A consulting cost of 370K, which we had in the first half year, related to due diligence and legal consulting for that deal. As a side note, the main Vineo effects start after closing, which took place 10 days ago on July 31st. Effects on earnings per share are visible in the table, with EPS adjusted after 6 months, standing at 58 cents. All right, let's move forward to slide 14, and now look at full year figures, including 2018. The lines are identical to the slide before. The columns on the right side show the GFT figures reported in 2016 and 17, plus the changes coming from FREP finding. These figures are identical to slide 4, where I explained the FREP finding. So you do see that the main effect, the sampler earnout, is visible in the line M&A earnout and retention, and in 2016 has a relevant impact of minus 15 million. That's when we really had to increase the earnout after the very strong Italian performance. In 2017, we had another 960K. And a bit more is in the M&A interest lines, as already reported on slide 4. Just to give a bit more insight, 2017, we on top had an M&A earnout, which already was booked in our standalone figures. That was Habertech. We've been reporting that last year already at 1.04 5 million euros. So we now have a combined earnout for 17 of 2.01 million euros. And again, to mention, PPA impairment in 2017 is in the column GFT standalone with minus 2.00 million euros. Now let's come to 2018. And the column has the same structure as on the slide before. We again have GFT standalone, then we have FREP, Vineo, and the grand total. The FREP finding remains on the H1 level. As I already said, the thing is done and dusted, and the earnout has been paid. Vineo will start contributing operating EBITDA as of August 1st, here included with 1 million euro. The earnout and retention obligation linked to the operating profit will amount to approximately minus 370,000 euros for the rest of 2018. As the sellers continue to be employees of Vineo, the IFRS rules request us to show the earnout as personnel cost. The total consulting and integration cost will amount to roughly 550,000 euros. PPA order book will amount to roughly 320,000. And then on top, we have the PPA amortization, which we expect at 580,000 euros for the remaining 5 months of this year. So all in all, Vineo will contribute 1 million of operational profit, but after all M&A effects, the EBT contribution is minus 960,000 euros. And this contribution change, because of M&A effects plus the FREP finding, is the reason for reducing the EBT guidance for the year. No operational reason, only M&A effects. Looking into the future after 2018, the Vineo and consulting and integration costs are a one-off, so there will be no more cost in the coming years, nothing more to come. The PPA order book is nearly a one-off. Here we will face another 100K in 2019. The earnout goes on for 4 years and fluctuates with the contributing operational EBITDA, probably roughly at 35% of the EBITDA. The amortization will go on for 6 years at roughly 1.4 million per calendar year. One more comment on Vineo. The majority of the Vineo numbers occurs in Canadian dollars, so we may have volatility coming from FX changes over the next years. All right, coming back to slide 14, we on top adapted our expected tax rate for 2018. While initially expecting a 20% group tax rate, we now foresee only approximately 15% as the positive tax regimes continue to give us some tailwind here. This brings us to a forecasted earnings per share of 76 cents, or even more important to us, a bit more than 1 euro for the adapted earnings per share number. All right, some slides we can do quite fast. Slide number 15, balance sheet. Nothing really hefty to comment here. We look pretty much like the end of 2017 at the moment. So let's move forward. Slide 16, cash flow analysis. Operating cash flow, quite strong, as the ones who follow us closely. Usually at this time of the year, we're more in negative territory. But we had this exceptional receivable inflow from the Avaloq lawsuit at the beginning of January, which pushes us into positive territory at the moment. Everything else is business as usual. But let me mention, I said we have paid the last 20% of Sempla, and we have paid the purchase price of Vineo. In 3 months from now, the next quarterly reporting, we will see an outflow of funds because we had to pay for those. The combined outflow for the earnout and Vineo was roughly 52 million euros, as planned and expected. Moving to slide number 17, employees by country, we do see that currently we are using the fluctuation in Spain to let the team get a bit smaller. Same true in Brazil, both reasoning less demand from the big nearshore customer Deutsche Bank, from UK, that's mainly impacting Spain, or from the US, which is impacting Brazil. Other markets tend to grow at the moment, and we do have strong traction in many of our markets. Which brings us to the last slide, guidance 2018. You see the numbers on the top. We implemented EBITDA adjusted in there. Our revenue will roughly be in the middle of our guidance of 400 to 420. So roughly 410 million is what we expect today. It's still early because Q4 is still unclear, especially for Deutsche Bank, what will be exactly the saving measures they're going to take. There is a risk inside, therefore we go for the middle, the 410 million. And Vineo will on top contribute roughly 7 million euros of revenues, which come on top. EBITDA adjusted should stand at 40 million euros. We have not guided that number before, so it's a new one. We do see EBITDA still at 39 million euros, and EBT, because of the M&A effects I was mentioning, is now guided at 23.5 million euros. And as I stated in the bullet points, yeah, we do see volatility, especially in Q4. Q3 should look quite stable now. We have a good visibility for Q3. Of course, it's the summer season period. But for Q4, we still have outstanding orders, and we will see how those customers continue their saving measures. We have new solutions in the market, exponential banking, or a very strong pipeline around public cloud migration. But signing the first relevant project is still pending. We will probably, as if we are allowed to have a press release on that, that would be a very interesting starting point for this interesting cloud migrating business. We're working on the Internet of Things solutions for industry customers, but this is still in startup mode, so nothing new to mention on that front at the moment. All right, that's it from the slides. And now, happy to take your questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star followed by one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from a question queue, then you may press star followed by two. If you are using speaker equipment today, please leave the handset before making your selections. Anyone who has a question may press star followed by one at this time. One moment for the first question, please. First question comes from a line of Robin Brass with Hauck and Aufhäuser. Please proceed.
Yes, hello and good morning, and thank you for taking my questions. I have two. The first one is the, let's say, the German business. You mentioned that you will see a shift in H2 from the top two clients more to the non-top two clients. The, let's say, a little bit of weaker demand of the top two clients. Is this also due to maybe some cost-cutting measures again, or is it more like a finalization of projects and something like that? And the second question would also be, you mentioned, of course, you do see some risk of Q4, that maybe also then in the UK and US business might be further lower demand. Looking into the year, but it feels like this might be a turning point, and then that especially Q1, but also 2019 might be developing better. How is your view on that?
Yeah, we should combine it. It is continental Europe, not Germany, where our top two clients in retail banking are strongest. Deutsche is a big client of GFT, especially in Germany and Spain, but also in other smaller markets. And here we do see, we expect a reduced demand in the second half year. We saw Deutsche reduce their investments on their digital bank. And therefore, yes, there will be some reductions, which would mean we will not end the year at plus 11% for that customer group, as we're currently showing on slide eight. Which means we will still see a positive development from that client group in 2018 versus 17, but it will probably not be 11%. And then the other clients will benefit from that because we will be able to use Teams on that side. The main saving measures, however, will happen on the investment banking side, as has been happening since now 18 months. And there is the insecurity, and the question, will this stabilize? Q4 was last year, will be this year a bit exceptional because banks tend to take exceptional measures in Q4. To give you an idea, they've always been discussing crazy measures for that time period, especially December. So discussion is send everybody home for all of December, no project work in December. Well, this is usually happening in summer period, and then after summer they recognize this is not possible, but something might happen. And it is then not planned, meaning it doesn't make sense compared to the other quarters. It is a pure December measure, last-minute cost-cutting. We do not know how much of that will come. And then, if it comes, how much will affect us? Because we, in the past, have been quite clever about avoiding losing revenues because of that. But it's an open question, and that's still why we do have a bandwidth in our guidance. I'm sorry, I have to give a bit of question marking there. But Q4 will not be the guiding principle for the first quarter. That will probably be an average of what we see in the second half happening. Q4 is always a bit exceptional. I hope I answered your questions.
Yeah, sure. Just one quick follow-up. I mean, you still saw, of course, I mean, the quarter-on-quarter decrease now from Q1 to Q2, and of course, you do have the risk in Q4, but at least I would assume that you still look positive into 2019, still despite like a lower H2 this year than H1, right?
Yes, fundamentally we do, yes. And we do see our growth track record with the other clients working, although it doesn't currently look like, hey, that's tremendous growth, but it will look better at the end of the year. Therefore, yes, we have traction with all other customers, and the saving measures, they will have to come to an end somewhere in time. Problem is, you would have to ask Deutsche Bank when exactly that will happen. We can only best guess at the moment how we will see Q4, and this Q3 and Q4 combined will be relevant for what we can expect for the first half of 2019. But yes, we do believe there will be a moment when all of this will stabilize.
Okay,
but
thank
proof
you.
Will be in the pudding.
Okay.
More questions.
The next question comes from the line of Andreas Wolf with Warburg Research. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. It's Andreas Wolf, Warburg Research. So the first question is regarding your industrial customers. Do you still have the same view on the revenue progress for this customer group as you had at the beginning of the year? Are the projects developing as planned? Do you get the personnel you are looking for? And then on the number of employees, we see a small sequential decline, if I'm correct. Does it tell us something about your expectation for the upcoming quarters? Are you just being a little bit more cautious, or are you increasing your employee utilization? The last question is on the large Spanish projects, TSB/Sabadell. I know it was in the media, probably due to another partner, but maybe you could confirm that the GFT part went as planned. Thank you.
All right. Industry. Well, as I said before, there is nothing really new on industry. Working pipeline, working partnerships to leverage our technology base and partnership technology. The team, we will probably finalize setting up the team in the third quarter. The main head is just joining at the moment. So therefore, pipeline has been improving, no new customers so far. So we should really look into 2019 for that topic. On employees, you're absolutely right? We did 210 million in the first half year. We guide 410, which means we have a lower H2 than H1. This must be reflected in the number of employees, or we have the danger of running into an underutilization. This, of course, we want to avoid. It's kind of reflected in the strange slow growth in other clients because we serve Deutsche Bank at the moment more. In the first half year, this will change, but overall, we have a lower revenue in the second half, which means we will need less people. That's why the base of people is below 2017 numbers. Very simple. Spain TSB, all the problems around the implementation of that system, especially the online systems and the apps and how they worked, we were part of the overall TSB implementation team, but that the parts of the systems that were not working were not in our responsibility. So that we will not name whose responsibility it was, right? There is an internal IT at Sabadell, and there were three other partners. But the things that went wrong were not in our responsibility, and TSB has never said it would be in our responsibility. Yes, there was a link in the media, maybe because we said we're part of that integration, and somebody linked it to, and there's a problem. But to be honest, these are disconnected informations. Therefore, no, we have no problem. TSB is going on, Sabadell is going on in our budgets and revenues as planned. Good customer, 30 million revenue base this year, very strong and continues.
Thank you.
Well, welcome. More questions.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Dustin Mildner with Equinet Bank. Please proceed with your question.
Yeah, good morning. Thank you for taking my questions. Dr. Ritz, can you please come back to the reduced capacity utilization in continental Europe and give some background on how this resulted? And maybe what's the development or the expected development going forward?
Yeah, and I will give you an example how our biggest customer Deutsche Bank is acting, and this is reflected in our numbers. And we plan for a new project to start with 40 people, first time from Poland, not from Spain. We built the team, everybody was ready on day one. And on day one, the customer said, oh, we have budget cuts, we will not do the project on day one. So they had to pay a full month for no service at all. But since then, we had 40 people waiting for a project. Of course, we take these risks every day, right? This is our job, to say we have this pipeline, we will need this amount of people, we will staff as follows. But these are effects that are quite big and show that especially the customer Deutsche Bank is not always acting in a predictable way, and this leads to underutilization in the continental European business at the moment. So these are the drivers. The more Deutsche stabilizes, the better it is, but at the moment we're suffering somewhat from the reductions we do see, and compensating, especially in Spain, with other local business has become tougher in 18 than in 17 because we're quite mature in that market. We are now going for more insurance. We will start going also for industry customers next year in Spain. But at the moment, reusing teams that are freed up with new projects from other clients, especially in the Spanish local market, is not that easy. And you see that on the margin side at the moment. We're working on that. Of course, adapting the team, using fluctuation is part of the strategy. It looks like we would rather see employee growth in Poland as a nearshore center, and Spain being somewhat less attractive to Anglo-Saxon customers. Driver, I think, is there's no logic driver behind. Poland is just a notch cheaper. Maybe that's the driver at the moment. And this leads to a bit of hiccups on our EBITDA coming from the continental European business. I think this will stabilize again, but for the first half year, this was visible.
Okay, thank you.
Welcome. Do we have more questions?
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone. There are no further questions at this time. I hand back to Dr. Jochen Rutz for closing comments. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for bearing with us today. It took a bit longer than usual. We had a bit more to explain. If there would be any more questions on the new KPIs we implemented on the FREP finding, you can come our way directly. The IR team, myself, we're happy to support. Now I wish everybody a good summer period. Maybe now summer ends and normal period starts. And we will have the next call with the Q3 numbers early November. Latest, hear you then. Thank you very much and goodbye.